Thanks, Don. I think you ought to just come on out here for that retreat. Come on. It's just a weekend. Hey, everybody. It's good to be here. And I'd say see your shining faces, but I only see one, and Don's face is always shining. But no, thanks for being here. Hey, Kate. Hey, Rayla. Hey, Sharon. Hey, everybody in Radio Computer Land. Yeah, book the ticket right now, Don. See what happens. Yeah, I'm sure that there's a way to make that work. So, and if you're really interested in doing that, we should talk about that at our next leadership meeting. Seriously. Yeah. Okay, good. So let me start today by playing a song. It's really funny because I fooled around with looking for a song while I was listening to Regina, and fooled around with looking for a song. And, you know, usually these things come pretty easily. But it wasn't. And then I settled on a song. It's called Breathe by Alexi Murdoch. And then I was looking at what I wrote with Inner Wisdom this morning, and it said Breathe. I'm like, well, there you go. So anyway, let me play this song.
In the quiet of a shadow, in the corner of a room, darkness moves upon you like a cloud across the moon. You're aware in all the silence of a constant that will turn, like the windmill left deserted or the sun forever burned. So don't forget to breathe. Don't forget to breathe. Your life is here, no 11th hour reprieve. So don't forget to breathe. Keep your head above water, but don't forget to breathe. Suffering that you've witnessed, and the handprints on the wall, they remind you how it's endless, how endlessly you fall. Then the answer that you're seeking, for the question that you've found, drives you further to confusion as you lose your sense of ground. So don't forget to breathe. Don't forget to breathe. Your whole life is here, no 11th hour reprieve. So don't forget to keep your head above water, but don't forget to breathe. just breathe. Just breathe. Just breathe. Just breathe. Just breathe.
Okay. That was the one. That was actually the perfect song. It really was. I realized yesterday, well, I'd been wondering if this was the gathering that I was, that Regina and I had traded dates on, if it was coming up on Sunday, and sure enough, it's coming up on Sunday. Kicking around what I might talk about. It's the best I can come up with right now. And I've been going through some really strange stuff lately that, you know, generally I don't want to talk about directly. Because I do think it's about me, unlike what Regina just talked about in her Tao Te Ching teaching. I don't really think it's about me, but that thought, you know, it creeps in. It's like, and I think I even wrote that in my, I wrote it in my contemplation of today's lesson, which I'm going to read here in a minute. But, I came across an Adi Ashanti video on it. I can't give you the name of it. I was listening to several Adi Ashanti videos this morning, but it's like, given that I know what I know, why am I having the experience that I'm having? It's like, you know, there's just a cognitive dissonance there. You know, it's and really the answer is just breathe. I mean, just, you know, go on and have the experience, right? Right? Not like, I gotta make this fit back into this, you know, into this paradigm that I've created for myself, and I gotta be a good teacher, and I gotta, like, you know, last week I was on it, and boy, I talked about it, and wasn't it great, but boy, I'm not feeling it now. It's really just... I think it's really about breathing. Breathing is just like critically important. I think it's so funny that song came up after that's the advice that I just got this morning. But it's about breathing. And frankly, the other bit of advice that I got that I included in the tip today, I think, it's really about, you know, just be curious. Just be curious to see what's unfolding, how it's unfolding, how... the thoughts that I'm believing are preventing me from seeing the truth of the wisdom that is revealed. I know Adi Ashanti does talk about I lost it phenomenon, right? It's like, I had this awakening experience and everything. I got how I was one and I understood it all. And today I just feel like crap. And why does this phenomenon keep occurring? And, you know, it's really exploring that cycle that is intriguing, frankly. I mean, first of all, I got it. I got the truth of my essence. That doesn't change. So there's really no such thing as I got it, I lost it. Why have I turned my attention away from the truth that from the truth? You know, what shiny thing flew by that I grasped onto, or not so shiny thing, and. Anyway, I'm going to read you the contemplation that I wrote for the Gentle Healing Year One tips. Just the contemplation part. Regina wrote the rest of it anyway. And then discuss with you, discuss what gets discussed, but we'll see. So in Gentle Healing Year One, we are reviewing the tips. We're in like our third review period. And I think it's review of like lessons 100 to 110 or something like that. But at any rate, this is lesson 115. So we're reviewing two lessons. Salvation is my only function here, and my part is essential to God's plan for salvation. And in contemplation of salvation is my only function here, I wrote, salvation is the remembrance or recognition that I do not exist in independence from any other thing, person, process that I experience. I'm going to read it again. Salvation is the remembrance or recognition that I do not exist in independence from any other thing, person, process that I experience. It's funny, that process that I experience catches my eye because it's like, if I encounter a process that I don't like, you know, if I'm not like totally 100% feeling absolute joy at this time, if I encounter a process that doesn't feel like joy, it's not my inclination to embrace it and go, oh, I love this. That's just not my natural response. What I want to do is reject it and figure out what's wrong here, right? What's gone wrong? And again, I think that takes me back to this idea of, you know, your job is to see. Your job is to see what's going on. It's not to manipulate experience. Again, I said salvation is a remembrance or recognition that I do not exist in independence from any other thing, person, or process that I experience. So I asked, how do I then fulfill that function? I look for the intersection of myself with what appears to be outside of and independent of self. On rereading here, I'm seeing some things that I had not seen before. This process, I want to project it outside of me and go, this is somebody's fault or something or some phenomena or some trick of the mind that really doesn't have that much to do with me. And I think that's not the case. I want to look for, and again, I talk about this at the end of this writing, but I want to look for the intersection of myself with what appears to be outside of and independent of self, because that's appearance only, right? There's only one thing going on here. I look to find the imagined boundary. I test the limits of this self I believe myself to be. I become curious. There it is. I become curious about why things, people, events seem separate from me. I look at this phenomenon with a real desire to see beyond the appearance of separateness to the truth of what is really going on here. I see that this is the opposite of resistance. It's this curiosity is the opposite of resistance. Resistance would say, oh my gosh, I woke up this morning and I had all these thoughts and I don't like them. Go away, go away, go away. And curiosity is more well, wait a minute. That's not the way it was happening yesterday. What's going on here? What really, what thought process has come in? What, what flipped the switch? And not in a blamey way, you know? Oh, where did I screw up? But really, what flipped the switch? Why is today different than yesterday? And that really is the opposite of resistance. And I will tell you that resistance is one of the things that I'm looking at for Sunday. I don't know if that'll end up being what the message is or not. But I've been experiencing, I guess, resistance. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like an it's kind of like an ennui. It's just like me. So, and I don't know what that's about. And I have been resistant to that. I'll tell you the other thing that I'm doing is lots of naps. Oh my God, I'm taking 4 naps a day. Hey Ann, hey Kate. you know, and I'm not resisting that too much. Actually, I'm like, are you really going to take another nap? And the answer is yes. And the mind goes, is this depression? Are you depressed? What's going on? And I don't know. And another thing that I want to look at, and I think I've taught from that lesson before from Jeff Foster. I haven't even looked at it, but the title keeps coming in my head, so I need to look at it again. Depression, depressed, like as in depression, versus deep rest. My recollection of what he says in that article is, just breathe, you know, give yourself a break, right? It's like Peace Pilgrim talked about, there are hills and there are valleys. And, you know, eventually they, you get to stay on the top of the hill longer. So I become curious about why things, people, events seem separate from me. I look at this phenomenon, things, people, events, seeming separate. I look at this phenomenon with a real desire to see beyond the appearance of separateness to the truth of what is really going on here. I see that this is the opposite of resistance. This is an invitation to embrace what I experience. And I know one of the gentle healing participants talked about, you know, we've just started practicing the loving all method. And one of the participants was like, I don't want to love things that I don't want. I don't want to love, you know, like disease and sickness. And, you know, that just seems not right. So for me, it's going to be the allowing all method, which I certainly appreciate where she's coming from. You know, Martha Creek, who has studied for years and years and years with Byron Katie, says, I don't love everything. Most of the time, I don't even like everything. So, you know, it's not an unusual reaction, right? It's just not. When this gentle healing participant had shared that, I recommended that Mary Read video, What Love Really Is. Mary Read talks about, well, it's the same thing Jeff Foster talks about really embracing it all. You can't eradicate parts of yourself. You know, it's not about the rejection of, you know, it's not good versus evil. I mean, that's duality and it's fine. That's the creation of duality, right? I'll keep this and I'll get rid of that because I don't like that. You know, so you're just, you're enlivening the idea, good versus evil. You know, I mean, that's that whole story in in Genesis, right? Adam and Eve were punished for eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And of course, the, you know, the metaphor is you know, we punish ourselves because we've broken things down into this is good and this is bad. You know, we've made that dichotomy, the knowledge of good and evil. Well, there's no such thing. It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. So really, it's clear the call is to embrace it. And I heard, when I heard Ann teaching this morning, she reminded us of what Michael Langford had recently taught us. Slow down. Number one, slow down. Number two, really look at your experience right this moment. Are you really having a problem right now? Is there really a problem right now? It's manufactured, right? It's just manufacturers believing the thoughts in the mind that go, oh my God, you're having a problem. It's not true. It's just not true. But until you slow down, breathe, you know, it's just hard to back up and get that perspective on it. And I am curious to how that switch gets flipped. You know, going along, doing great. Ah! Like, really? So let me tell you what flipped my switch this morning. It's the next part of this, the next part of what I wrote for General Healing, year one. I asked, what is my part? Is it not? No, that's not what it says. That's what I wanted to say. It's not what it says. What is my part? It is not some grand role in the mass awakening that is occurring in the one mind. I said, while that is true, its ego-based grandiosity is palpable. Well, that's all well and good in my journal, but I don't want to be telling that to General Healing year one students, right? I mean, I'm just telling you what's in the mind. And when I woke up this morning, first of all, sometimes Regina will write and go, oh, nice tip. Well, there was no nice tip this morning. and I went, oh my God, I shouldn't have written that. I knew it when I wrote it. It was just like, it's too controversial. I am bucking the party line here. That's not what's being taught in General Healing. What's being taught in General Healing is, yeah, you are waking up the whole world, and good for you for doing it. I mean, you know, and then the thoughts about, gosh, you could have phrased that better. You could have said, I don't know what I could have said, blah, blah, blah. There was lots of advice this morning about how that should have been different, could have been different, could have been left out. You know, just because you say you're including your contemplation in these tips doesn't mean you can't edit them, right? Oh, on and on and on and on. But the truth is, it was authentically what I was feeling at the time. Now, see, we talk about the Freedom from the Judge retreat. That's just an engagement, though, of that critical judge, you know, the inner critic that goes, well, you should have done this. And I'm like, yeah, well, it was authentic. It's like, it's not helpful. It's not helpful to do that. And again, it takes, I wrote a few days ago that I had not had any I am bad attacks for quite some time. But I did when I did this whole speaker thing and wrote all these confusing emails and blah, blah, blah. This is the same thing. This is the same source. This is like, you got a job to do and you are screwing it up. That's what's being said. And so, you know, we talk about flipping the switch. It seems to be this area of my experience is the one area where I keep biting that hook. You know, you tell me I'm a bad gardener or even a bad mother or a bad, whatever. I'm not buying that. You know, you tell me. This one tells me, this judge I'm just not buying it. It's like, whatever, you can have your opinion, but I'm not buying it. You tell me I'm not doing this job well. Whoa. Well, let me tell you how you're wrong. Let me justify this and engage with this and tell you why it's good. And instead of just the ability to just go, you know, thank you, I don't need your opinion. Yeah, so that's a good point for inquiry. I mean, I don't have any answers for you, for me, right this second. You know, obviously it's all about, obviously it's about, in part, self-image, you know, it's like if I'm a, yeah, it's a place where I'm most invested. Exactly. Yeah, it's where I'm most invested. If I'm a novelist, I want to be told I write good novels. If I'm a pianist, I want to be told that, you know, me and you play, you can really tinkle those keys. So, yeah, this is where I'm most invested. This is where imperfection will not be tolerated. Oh my God, can you imagine working for a boss like that, right? And that's certainly not Regina's style, but it is this boss's style. You know, it's in my treatment of myself. Oh man, we can't, so we just can't permit those. You're fired. I'd like to fire the boss, I think. So it's just the recognition of it. That may be all I have to say about that right now. Says Forrest Gump. So, and in fact, this is authentic contemplation, because to say I have a grand role in the mass awakening, I'm awakening one mind, it is true, but it's not really helping me right now, right here. So I said, what does it mean to have a part in salvation right here, ground zero? My part means not waiting for some magic agent or grace to tap me on the head and give me enlightenment. Truth is what is and is here to be discovered. Again, that's that reference to, you know, you can't, I got it, I lost it. It just doesn't work that way. You're either, it's where am I focusing my attention? What am I believing? Truth is what it is and is here to be discovered. If I am not experiencing the oneness I have seen that I am, time and time again, experience after experience, there's no question, right? I mean, there's no question that we're one and that we're interconnected in ways that are beyond the thinking mind's ability to comprehend. I have no question about that, none. But if I'm not experiencing that, what is it that prevents me from seeing that? That's where the inquiry has to lie. What processes are being allowed that cover over the truth? What processes? You know, it's one thing to say, well, that's where I had the most investments. That's what, you know, that's what, that's where I think my daily bread comes from, not from the writing with inner wisdom, not from whatever teaching, not from the readings or the writings or the, you know, but I think that's what feeds me. But I don't always think that. So what process, you know, what door am I opening? Where does that door get open? You know, who creeps down into the basement and opens that door to let that in? What is that process? And I heard Regina teaching in the last hour about spending time in the quiet and how, what did she say? I should have written it down. how that opens you up to clarity, basically. And that really resonated with me. And it occurs to me that it occurs to me that this process that I'm going through is what it is part of that, is part of that resting, you know. As I said, man, these naps are fabulous. I'm loving them. You know, maybe I need to rest. Maybe that's what that is. Maybe I don't need to call. Oh, my God, you got it. That's depression. Right? Don loves naps, too. Yeah. You know, where am I giving meaning? You know, the experience happens, and then I assign meaning. Well, why am I assigning that one? You know, the one that goes, oh, my God, you must be depressed. You're snapping a lot. And where am I forgetting to question those thoughts? And I said, what active role am I playing in the resistance? What processes are being allowed that cover over the truth? What active role am I playing in the resistance? And then I noticed the war metaphor, right? And play on the word resistance, you know, so I might have some internal resistance, but in an active role, I am the resistance. I'm fighting the regime, right? so really, what active role am I playing in this resistance? And I think it's the same, frankly. I think it's the same one that that I've talked about in my vision plan, and I keep looking around because it's over there on the bulletin board. So I'm going to get it. Right here it is. The spiritual aspiration, live in open-hearted expectation further. And the first item on the, on the vision, the plan is, I look in each moment to discover what meaning I have applied. There you go. You're taking lots of naps. Oh, you must be depressed.
What the hell?
The second point is, I pause to appreciate what is actually happening in this moment, here and now. That's quite the contrast. So it turns out all I really need to do is take my own advice. Right? Where have I applied meaning? And what's really happening? Well, you know, we meditated. We listened to some Adi Ashanti. We ate. It's nap time. Yay! Right? That doesn't need to be analyzed, picked apart. It needs to be embraced, accepted, allowed. Yeah. Yeah, what a treat. Dawn's right, naps can feel luxurious. What a treat. Amen, sister. I might go get a massage too. She says, maybe I need some luxury. Yeah, it's just being present to what's going on. It's not like, you know, it's that fix it that fix-it energy. Oh, wow. You shouldn't be, first of all, the judgment. You shouldn't be napping or whatever it is, right? You shouldn't be pouring your heart out in these lessons. You're supposed to be teaching or whatever it is. You know, you're supposed to be a shining example for people. Supposed to be. I mean, that's just stupid. It's just stupid. So, yeah. So what active role am I playing in the resistance? I am applying meaning and then believing it. So then I wrote, if the truth is true, what is happening that prevents me from recognition of the truth? And again, I think we've just gotten to the bottom of that. It's the application of meaning. I wrote, this is my part in salvation, giving up my resistance and even my complicity in this feigned ignorance. You know, the feigned ignorance, the choosing to believe in what's not the truth. Am I complicit in that? Yeah, I'm complicit in that when I'm not doing this. When I'm not looking to discover what meaning I've applied, then I become complicit. Wrote, this is an active role, not passive. Let me discover where to begin. So thank you all for letting me share this part because it took me right there. Certainly not when I wrote it, but when we read it together here. I don't know. So do I have anything else to say? I don't know. So I'm just going to back up to earlier in my journal and see if that has anything. Well, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to stop. What does it mean to be one with God, I asked in May. It is simply this. You are that which is and bees. Is and bees. You are not confined to the body-mind perspective. You can imagine yourself to be by placing all your focus there. You can sit and wait and hope that one day the ultimate understanding will dawn upon you, but that is simply not helpful. In that scenario, there is still a you who wishes and waits to have some ultimate knowledge bestowed upon her. You are the knowledge and the knowing. You are indeed the process called Godding. That process looks, bees, tastes, experiences. It doesn't matter whether you believe this or not. It is true just the same. this seems pretty dramatic. Jed McKenna suggested autolysis. It's his method of contemplation. Anyway, he suggested contemplation of the question, why shouldn't I just kill myself right now? And I asked, what, if anything, does this add to this contemplation? And the response says, yes, it seems like a silly question on its face, but isn't this the very contemplation that propelled you forward years ago? And we've talked about this recently. We talked about it last time in this program about Course in Miracles, talking about, you know, men have died upon seeing the meaninglessness of life. And certainly where I was when I I often say start on this journey in earnest when I quit my job for life, gave up my salary for life, divorced my husband, got rid of that, thought I got rid of that big house, got rid of the red convertible, blah, 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 blah. You know, all these slash and burn, you know, old life's out and the new life's in, right? When I did that, it was exactly because I had reached this point where I went, you know, it's just, I've tried it all. I've had it all, done it all. You know, none of it satisfies ultimately. So indeed, that is the very contemplation that propelled me forward years ago. The answer at that time was, I considered it, and frankly, before I went on a 3-week intensive at that time, I mean, I'm telling you, that thought was in my mind a lot. You know, this is that all there is, right? Just like the song, if this is all there is, screw it. Who needs it? I've done it and I'm ready to end it. And then when the opportunity to go to this intensive came up, the thought came audibly in my mind, well, what have you got to lose? You were going to kill yourself. You know, I would think about things like, what would happen if I drove this car into that embankment as I'm driving down the highway? So, you know, I was really having those types of thoughts. And when the opportunity came up, it's like, what do you got to lose? Right? So again, yes, it seems like a silly question on its face, but isn't this the very contemplation that propelled you forward years ago? The answer at that time was, well, I guess I've got nothing to lose by exploring the alternative to that question. This is the alternative. This contemplation of the ultimate truth of beingness. You are that which rises behind the belief in self. You can detach from this self-belief by seeing it, by seeing how it pervades your every moment. You are not the thing you take yourself to be. You are life itself. There is no killing life itself. There is no escape from life itself. You are here. You might as well look around and see what here is. There's nowhere to go. You know, let's get curious about what's really going on here. Who is this self to question what is reality? What is truth? How could this self have anything with which to measure? If illusion questions illusions, what could you possibly conclude? Yeah, I mean, that gets to the bottom of that question, right? Is that all there is? No, that's not all there is, but that's all you can see because of your starting point. If illusion questions illusions, what could you possibly conclude? It is truth that must question truth. This is the question, what am I? Rest in that question. What am I really? What am I? Simply refuse to believe what it is that you see with the body's eyes. How do you question that? Quit thinking you understand it. Except ye become as little children means you must become curious enough to eschew the definitions you have given to everything, every event, every person. These are merely meanings you have made up to make the character more comfortable, to avoid that space of not knowingness, the wobble. Indeed, your ultimate aim, the reason you have given to everything, is an attempt to overlay definition on this wobble. The fear is that there is nothing beyond uncertainty, so you make it up yourself. Become comfortable with not knowing what anything means. Become comfortable with not knowing the answers, with not being the one who can explain what is really going on. You clearly don't know, nor do you want to know. And I just want to stop there for a second because, I mean, this is so right on. I haven't read this. I wrote this on May the 22nd. I haven't read it since then, so, but it's really good. Be comfortable with not knowing. Be comfortable with writing something and then going, oops, maybe I shouldn't have written that. I mean, it's okay. It's okay. You don't have to have the answers. Become comfortable with not knowing what anything means. Become comfortable with not knowing the answers, with not being the one who can explain what is really going on. You clearly don't know, nor do you want to know. If you can define truth with a thinking mind, wouldn't this mean that the thinking mind, rather than beingness, encompasses the whole? How else would the thinking mind comprehend the magnitude of what is? Yeah, I mean, for me, that's just really, really clear that, that the thinking mind wants to, you know, explain the universe. Let me explain the universe to you. Well, it can't possibly do that because it's trying to explain something that is beyond its ken, beyond its ability to understand. If you can divine truth with the thinking mind, yeah, the only thing the thinking mind can do is say it's a mystery. Amen, Don says. If you can define truth with a thinking mind, wouldn't this mean that the thinking mind, rather than beingness, encompasses the whole? And if that's the truth, God save us all. I mean, oh my God, we already talked about what a tyrant that is, right? Who wants to work for that boss? The one that defines what this means and how you should be, and, you know, to heck with that. How else would the thinking mind comprehend the magnitude of what is? Is this where salvation lies? If that were true, why not end it all? You do know the thinking mind. You know its entire contour and contents. You know its proclivity for self-extension and self-protection. Your hope is that there is something beyond its boundaries, and that is the one hope that points you in the right direction. That's what Don just said. Yeah. All I can know is it's a mystery. Your hope is that there is something beyond its boundaries, and that is the one hope that points you in the right direction. You are not the thing you take yourself to be. Ask to realize the truth of that. Not with the very thing that claims to know the truth, but with your open-hearted expectation that is sincerely asking to be shown. You will know the truth, good, bad, ugly, the truth at any cost. I promise you that sincere looking, not thinking, I promise you that sincere looking will show you the truth beyond the comprehension of the thinking mind. Keep with your new practice of disbelief. It will guide you to your truth. Blessings. And I just think it's so funny because the thinking mind just goes, oh my God, we're in a crisis. I don't know what to do. Well, won't you read what you wrote? Won't you read your spiritual aspiration, your vision plan? There it is right there. And I'm grateful. I'm truly, truly, truly grateful for the reminder. And for the relief that not knowing and not wanting to know, right? Not needing to know, not needing to have the answers. The willingness to live in the wobble, the mystery. I don't know. It's a mystery. I mean, what a great response is that? NTI says highest thinking of which the thinking mind is capable of is it is what it is. That's because that's a statement of truth. That's a statement without assigned meaning. It is what it is. What is that? I don't know. You know, Adyashanti talks about I'm not sure how he says it, but he's like, chill out, man. Enjoy yourself. There's, you know, this is about enjoying yourself. Once you get over this need to have to know, this need to get somewhere, this need to have the answers, you know, it's just a journey to be enjoyed. It's just an experience to be enjoyed. You know, just like our opening song, just breathe, just breathe. Oh, good. Don says the word mystery is quite interesting. Let me pull it up because I don't have actually the chat window open. The word mystery is quite interesting. Missing the story. Miss story. Missing the story. In other words, no story. You need no need for the thinking mind to intrude. Love your naps. That's right. I mean, I don't know what's going on in these naps. Right? My brain's being reprogrammed. I don't know if there's a little men in fluorescent yellow outfits coming in here and reprogramming my brain while I'm asleep. I'm a science fiction fan, you know. I don't know what's going on. I don't need to know. I don't need to know. I'm willing to live in the mystery. So thank you all for, again, for helping me to get there today to see that. Before I go, I'll read you this first paragraph of what I wrote this morning when I was all like, ah! I just said, what would you say to me? And it says, it does not matter what has gone before. You use your past as a block to what is now. You see clearly the meaning you have applied, and yet you forget it is you who applies it. Be in this moment now with no need to have it different. You are indeed placing yourself in a position where you wait for the other shoe to fall. Breathe. So, I'm done. Thank you, guys. I love you. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to share.